Okay, I shall take that so I can clickerlate.
Sure.
Thank you. Well, we have reached part three of our series on the elements of the Mass. And we've been talking about what on earth it is we do on Sunday morning. And there's a wonderful line that Father Nicky Gumbel tells in the Alpha Course series. It's a class for new Christians, basically. A lot of churches use it for their initial teachings and their catechisms and for new members. And he tells the story of this a nanny or an au pair, something like that, and she was working in a foreign country, and so she was from she was Russian, and she was working in England or perhaps, and she, came into the room to yell at the little kids, and her English was okay, but it wasn't great. And she looked at them, and they were making a ruckus and a noise or whatever, and she wanted to yell at them and say, "What on earth are you doing?" And what she said was, "What are you doing on earth?" Profound. What are you doing on earth? What are you doing on earth? Well, that's a question that I think we're answering in this series, The Elements of the Mass. It's, what are you doing? Maybe not on earth, but what are you doing when you come here? Well, we're worshiping, we're praising, we're singing, we're communing, we're doing all of those things. Well, yes, but what are we doing? And we're trying to answer that in this simple series to give us a deeper and fuller understanding of why we do what we do. And then with the end goal being that we can then go forth from this place with confidence in answering that very question to people out there who look at this as all kind of strange or odd. What are you doing at church? What happens in there? People drive by and they look at these buildings and they go, "I wonder what happens in there." Well, now you can tell them. So the first part of our series, we talked about why we call it what we call it. We talked about Mass, worship, service, Eucharist, Holy Eucharist, Great Thanksgivings, all of those things. We talked then about... Well, we'll just get right into this part three, but remember that all of these are online, and you've got the PowerPoints for all of them too, okay? All of this is online as a handout. So we talked about why we call it what we call it. We talked about kind of what we're doing here, and we talked about how we are based in Scripture, and then you see from the slides, you know, that where all of our prayers and things come from. Today we're going to talk about something old, something new, and something true and good. The readings that we do every Sunday. Why do we have all of these readings? Why do we get people up here to read these? Is it to torture them because there's always words in there that they can't pronounce and it's fun to listen to them try? No, it's not that. Although, you know, I don't, some people would say that I look at the readings and then assign the lectors based on whether or not I, you know, because if the reading is, you know, the Jerusalem phone book, then I, you know, who can I give that to? So that'd be fun. But it doesn't happen that way. Every Sunday, you will hear the Old Testament, something from the Psalms, the New Testament, and a gospel reading. Now, in the Easter season, we don't hear from the Old Testament. We'll hear from the Acts of the Apostles, and then we'll hear one of the New Testament readings. That's because we're, you know, celebrating this ministry of the Acts of the, you know, what the Apostles did after the resurrection of Jesus. So that's just for the Easter season. But generally, through the rest of the year, we'll have an Old Testament reading, followed by Psalms, New Testament, and the Gospel. So the Old Testament reading is because The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old. And we've got the whole Bible. And you see that in your pews. We've got the whole Bible. We don't have half the Bible. We don't have parts of the Bible. We don't have, you know, just the books we like or the verses we like. We have the whole Bible. We are a whole Bible church. You ever seen that? You know, there are a lot of little storefront churches, and their criticism of mainline churches or denominational churches or liturgical churches is that they don't preach the whole Bible. We are a whole Bible church. Absolutely. And that's why you hear the Old Testament reading, and it's because of Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, I have come to fulfill. Jesus fulfills the prophecy. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament and then takes us into the New. He doesn't dismiss it. He doesn't throw it away. He doesn't say it's insignificant. He says, I have come to fulfill it. And so what that fulfilling means is when He becomes the ultimate and complete sacrifice for our sins, all of those things listed in the Old Testament are fulfilled. We don't have to do them anymore. It doesn't mean they were bad. It doesn't mean they were wrong. It means they're fulfilled. That's why when you come to worship here, you don't have to stop at the city limits of Dousman and sacrifice two doves. That would be bad. Don't do that. Okay? So we're not dismissing the Old Testament. We know that it is fulfilled. And the Old Testament law is what Jesus just talked about in our gospel today. I have come to give you a new commandment, love one another. And we read that at the beginning, don't we? That Jesus said the first commandment is this, and all of the other commandments hang on it. So you don't have to be bound by those Old Testament laws and rules anymore. The ones you're bound by are the Ten Commandments, the ones that don't change. When you love one another as I have loved you, that means you sacrifice for another person. That means you don't cheat them. That means you don't steal for them. That means you don't kill them. You don't take their stuff. You got a better lawnmower than I do, so I'm going to go get that. Boy, you know, you go out there and you got this old clunky thing when you used to have a brand new one, and there's your neighbor pushing a new lawnmower, you know. And, hey, that looks familiar. We don't do that. Because the law is fulfilled. So we are not bound. We're not supposed to be in that legalistic world anymore. Everything we do is based on the love of Christ. So we don't look at the Old Testament rules and regulations and say that we have to do those anymore. We do the Ten Commandments because we're bound by those. We're bound by love. The first commandment is this. And on the two commandments of love hang all the law and the prophets. So you don't have to do that stuff anymore. So the Old Testament is fulfilled. It's not eliminated or erased. And that's why we read the Old Testament every Sunday. Of course, some wonderful stories and wonderful teachings in there. Then we do the Psalms. And we have this antiphonal, which means that you get to say a verse, response to the Psalms. The verse is read, and then we respond with a portion of it. And so you're responding with the Psalms. The Psalms were songs of praise, worship, and intercession. And the reason the Psalms are important is because it's the most often quoted book in the New Testament. Over and over and over again, the New Testament teachings go back to the Psalms. These were the songs of worship. And just like we know the songs, you're going to leave here and you're going to have a song stuck in your head. I guarantee it today. Okay? You are going to have a song stuck in your head. And that's what the Psalms did. Okay? And that's why we honor those Psalms, because they are the original songs of praise and worship. And have we gone through, as we go through the course of the year and we get a phrase or something out of these, and you're, hey, that's that one song, or hey, I know that. It's because so much Christian music is based on Scripture, but so much based on Psalms. Then, after the Psalms, we get the New Testament reading. The New Testament starts with Acts of the Apostles and goes through Revelation, and it teaches us all the things we need to know about how to be a good Christian person and how to be the church in a lot of different ways. Acts of the Apostle is kind of like the history book. That's what we read through the Easter season. And we hear about how they went forward with the message of the gospel. The establishment of all the churches in the different cities, and Paul planting these churches and then giving them teachings. And so we see that in his letters to the Corinthians and the Colossians and the Galatians and the Thessalonians. Those are all names of cities where the Christian church started. And Paul teaching them and helping them in their, you know, worship and in their outreach and their evangelism and in their development. And then, of course, the book of Revelation is that, you know, book where God tells us what's going to happen at the end, where the prophecy is fulfilled. All that Old Testament prophecy that's fulfilled, a lot of it hasn't been fulfilled yet, and it's going to be fulfilled at the end times. And we're told about all of that in Revelation. So that's our third reading. How to be the Christian church today through the New Testament. And then we read a portion of the gospel, our fourth scripture reading, from either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the four gospel writers. And it is, as we know, the story of Jesus. And gospel means... Yes! Wow, you guys are smart. Jeez. Oh, boy. Gospel means good news. What's the opposite of gospel? Word sounds very similar to it. Anybody know that one? Gospel? Gossip. Gossip is bad. Gossip is usually false. Gossip is not true. The gospel is good and true. Gossip is bad. Gospel is good. Thing to remember. We read the story of Jesus because it's his history, but it's our history. We are children of God. This is our story, the story of Jesus. So that's why we do what we do. And as I mentioned before, all of that's based, not all based on that, but it's there are good explanations of all of those things. And this covers about four of the chapters in this little book. And I've, again, got these available for you. But it helps us to understand why we do what we do. And so when we're sitting here, well, why do we have to have all these readings? Well, because this all comes together, doesn't it? It all comes together. And we hear through this Easter season about the Acts of the Apostles, because they went forth proclaiming this message. They went forth doing what we're doing. Our worship is based on the first century worship of the church. It's not exactly the same. There are, of course, differences. But by and large, what we do is what they did. And many of the prayers we say go right back to the original sources. Some of the things we say, I mean, we're speaking ancient words. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Those words were spoken from the very beginning. And we still do that today. And we need to be an Acts church. Which is why we're talking about all of these things and why we're talking about Acts. There's an organization out there called Acts 29. Well, it refers to the fact that there are 28 chapters in the book of Acts in the Bible. We are the 29th chapter our lives today. We are the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. We are going forth with the message of the gospel. And what we heard today was Jesus confirming that this message is for all people. They preached the message to the Jews in Jerusalem, and it was rejected. And what we heard in Acts and what we heard in the gospel passage today is Jesus confirming for us that this message was to be taken to all the people of the earth, the Jews and the Gentiles. And that's why we're sitting here today. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And remember, the word mass means to be sent forth. It comes from the Latin missae. To be sent forth. So we come here to be empowered with the gospel to go forth as an Acts chapter 29 church. Love it when all this comes together. My goodness, this is good stuff. Can you tell I get a little excited? I do. But that's okay, right? That's okay. So here we are. We've heard all of our scripture lessons today. And you've heard an explanation, a teaching of why we do what we do. And so we internalize that and we take it forth into the world. And that's what we're doing here on earth. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.